to TTM Cast, the podcast for TTM autograph collectors, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion, and by thetrovesportsden.com. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros online. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 21 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I am your host for the program. Today is Sunday, June 14th, and we have another edition of Collector's Corner coming for you later. We interviewed a young man who's a great TTM collector, posts all the time. He posts under the name of James Mancave on Instagram, and we talked to James. He is a young guy from New Jersey, and we talked TTMing, so hopefully you'll enjoy our interview. It's always great to talk to TTM collectors, especially younger kids, younger guys that are into the hobby, so hopefully you enjoy our interview. Once again, my name is Jeff Baker, and I am the host of this fine program. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, or simply just wish to be a guest on a future episode, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. I am all over social media, posting all the time. I am on Instagram at ttmcast. I am on Facebook in many Facebook groups, and I am on Twitter at castttm. So I'm all over the place. I post my successes all the time. Check it out. Check out my website at www.ttmcast.com, and the podcast can be found everywhere podcasts are located, including if you have an Alexa device. All you have to do is say, "Alexa, play TTM Cast podcast," and you can hear the most recent episode or all of our previous episodes. So please spread the word. Let your friends know that we talk TTM, collecting, and autographs. It's hopefully it's a fun show. I enjoy doing it with you, and we talk to all sorts of people in the hobby. We talk to ex-athletes. We talk to everyone, collectors. So it's a fun time, and the shows are posted. A new show is posted every Sunday. We also are on Sports Card Forum. And, last week we welcomed a new sponsor. We are sponsored by thetrovesportsden.com. So check that out as well. And now on to Baker's Dozen, which is our first segment of the show. It always is kind of just a brand up of what's been going on in the hobby for the past week. And a few things going on. We have Father's Day next week. Our show will be, our next show will be next Sunday, June 21st, and I have a special guest that I interviewed the other day. It's a former Boston Bruin legend, so we're going to talk hockey, kind of a summertime hockey, but we got playoffs coming up, and sports hopefully will start, and it's great to catch up Boston Bruins legend, so hopefully you enjoy that next week. I've got a couple other shows planned. I've got a former Major League pitcher scheduled. I'm going to talk to him next week. I have a former Major League Rookie of the Year, American League Rookie of the Year, that's scheduled. I have not interviewed him yet, but he is on the docket. And I've got a couple of collectors that I've spoken to and recorded. So we have all sorts of cool shows coming up for you. So please let your friends, let people know that collect about the show. We always have a fun talking TTM and talking autographs and talking sports and collecting. So hopefully you enjoy the shows and look forward to them as much as I do creating them. A couple other things. We saw Bucky Dent is now charging $20 for autographs. I got Bucky Dent for free about a year and a half ago, and I guess he's been kind of inundated, and he was charging, I think, $10, and now he upped his fee to $20. So $20 for Mr. Bucky Dent. I also saw Fergie Jenkins is now $40. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but he is charging $40 per autograph. So, he is a Hall of Famer, but it's $40 per autograph. And former Cincinnati Red utility infielder Rick Auerbach is now charging $10. $10 an autograph. So these guys are now all jumping aboard. The hobby is getting really popular, I think, and they're getting inundated with a lot more requests. And so they're now starting to charge, as they're seeing other people charging, which is good and bad, I guess. A good in that, you know, if you send it off to the guy, he will sign it. Bad is that now it's going to cost you a little more money to keep going in the hobby if there's guys that you really want, or if you're a set builder like me. So it has its pluses and minuses. Just other a couple things. I spoke with Drew Pelto last week on just catching up with him. And please, I recommend you check out his YouTube channel. Drew Pelto is on YouTube. He posts his success all the time. And I saw Scott Shulman from Reindeer Studios, who we had on a couple weeks, posted another drawing that he did. So please check out Scott Shulman at Reindeer Studios. His stuff is fantastic. And lastly, there is a virtual card show expo coming up June 19th and the 20th. It's called, if you want information on it, go to cardexpo.com. It's cardexpo.com. It's a virtual card show June 19th and 20th. I know I do trade shows for my real job, as part of my real job, and a lot of them are going to virtual shows, and this is no different. This is eBay is a major sponsor of this, so you want to go check out a bunch of vendors virtually and see what they're having to offer. There's no charge. I think you get a free 2-day pass to get into the show. But go to cardexpo.com. Virtual Card Expo is June 19th and 20th. So the end of the week. And now time for our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who passed away way before I had sent out a 2TM request to him, and I was embarrassed that I had sent out a request to him. And I do this as a service to my fellow 2TMers to make them aware of people that have passed away, so they aren't embarrassed in sending out 2TM requests to people. Though, so this is for basically people in sports and entertainment that we've lost in the past week. So in the world of baseball, we lost Claudel Washington, who was an outfielder for the Oakland A's and Atlanta Braves and New York Yankees in the 70s and into the early 80s. Claudel was 65 years old. He was very ill, I guess, and he passed away this week. We lost Oscar Brown, who was an outfielder for the Atlanta Braves from 1969 to 1973, and John Miller, who was a pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles from 1962 to 1967. John was featured in a 1965 Topps card number 49, his rookie card. So he was kind of a relief pitcher for the Orioles in the 60s. In the world of football, we lost two former stars. We lost Ken Riley, who passed away, I believe, last Saturday or Sunday, and I missed it putting in the podcast last week, so I just want to mention that Ken Riley, who played 15 years, was a star cornerback for the Cincinnati Bengals for his entire career. He was 72. And Paul Rochester, who was a defensive end in the old AFL, and he played for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he played for the New York Jets for 6.5 years. He was on the Jets Super Bowl team that beat the Colts. And that game was actually on TV this weekend. I watched it. I think it was on Sports Channel or something. I remember watching. I watched it. It was really, really cool. They interviewed Joe Namath, and it was a broadcast from the Jets Super Bowl for the Jets Super Bowl victory. And Paul Rochester was the defensive end on that defensive tackle on that team, and Mr. Rochester was 81. And in the world of entertainment, we lost Pawnee Pointer, who was a singer for the Pointer Sisters, who was they were famous. They had some hits in the 70s in the disco era into the early 80s, and she was 69. So my condolences to all their losses.
This week's TTM returns are brought to you by Sports Card Forum. Find players' addresses, see who's signing, and more, all for free. SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Well, this week's returns were a little slow. We only got 3 returns this week, but I actually sent out 24 requests this past week. So hopefully in the next week or two, some more returns will be rolling in. I've got a lot of requests out in the last 2 weeks. So 3 returns this week, all very happy to add to my collection. They're all baseball related. I got Travis Shaw from the Milwaukee Brewers on a 2018 Topps Heritage card. He signed it in nice blue Sharpie. Cool signature, great card. I love these Topps Heritage cards to get autographs on. This return from Travis was sent to his home in Fort Lauderdale, and it took, I don't know, like 2 weeks. I got a nice return from Phil Plantier, who was a former Red Sox, Boston Red Sox prospect, and then he got traded to the San Diego Padres and actually had a great season with the Padres. I think he hit over 30 home runs. He was kind of a slugger. He's kind of the Red Sox version of Kevin Moss. He signed his 1991 Topps card in a nice black Sharpie, big and bold signature, and was returned in a couple weeks. This was sent to his home in California. And lastly, I got Larry Sorensen back, pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, on a 1978 card for my 1978 set. This had been out for, like 2 months. And I think Larry was catching up on his mail during our COVID quarantine that's kind of loosening up finally. And I got return from Larry Sorensen for my 1978 top set. So that wraps up returns for the week. As I said, kind of a slow week in terms of returns. I've been actually out buying some stuff on eBay, so I've been getting some eBay cards back. Oh, lastly, I forgot to mention, I had sent out a request to Hank Aaron a while ago, probably a year and a half ago, and I had sent him the 1974 Topps Home Run King card, the card number 1, and I sent it out. I saw he had been signing a while ago, and signed 1 or 2 a while ago. So I took a shot at it. I actually went on eBay and purchased another card just in case I didn't get it back. Had not got it back. And then I got the mail yesterday, and the card was in there, returned from a Milwaukee postmark, but he did not sign it. So at least I got my card back from Hank Aaron, so I appreciate that. Unfortunately, he did not sign it. So it looks like Hank Aaron is shot in the dark, but you gotta take a shot every once in a while. And it was nice to get the card back. That was kind of a surprise. And now on to our last segment, which is our interview segment. I interviewed James from James Man Cave, who on Instagram, James is a TTM collector, and we talked, a young guy, and we talked TTMing and how we got into the hobby. And it's kind of cool to talk to somebody so young and passionate about our hobby. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by the Trove Sports Den. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros from past and present online. Visit thetrovesportsden.com and join in the fun today.
Joining us on the TTMcast hotline from his home in New Jersey, and we won't even boo New Jersey because we have a Yankee fan on the line, it's James from James Man Cave on Instagram. James is a huge TTM collector, always posting, so welcome to the program, James.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to talking to you. And any Red Sox fans that are listening right now, I come in peace.
Well, you know what? I love to talk to people about TTM, and I love to talk to people that have passion for collecting it, and you fit the bill. You know, you're a younger person. You skew a little bit younger than a lot of the collectors, the old salt, so to speak. How long have you been collecting?
I've actually been collecting on and off ever since I was a kid, but definitely after I graduated college, it picked up again. When I was in middle school, my parents took me to Cooperstown for the first time, living in the Northeast. And while, you know, it's only a couple hours away, so easy to make a day trip out of it. And then, you know, anybody that goes to Cooperstown knows that Main Street there's a collector's heaven. I mean, there's all the card shops you could ever want. And It's such a great variety. I spent all day walking up and down this main street, and I was just buying like cards, little knickknacks. You know, back then I would just kind of get more, not so much like autographs or anything like that, but I would just get like signs and stuff like that, just kind of more tacky stuff. But again, I was a kid and didn't have a ton of money. Now I've graduated. Now I have a little bit more, you know, access to where I can spend a little bit more. But that's really where it started. And then after college is when I started getting into game used and TTM stuff, and it's been a tremendous amount of fun since then.
Now, how much time do you think you spend a week on TTMing? Sending stuff out.
Usually I send out about maybe anywhere from 5 to 10 cards a week, and I usually spend probably about 2 hours maybe doing that, because I hand write everything.
Ooh, you're right. Cool.
I just have always found that to be a little bit more, at least coming from the player's perspective, maybe, yeah, this could be just me thinking crazy, but I always thought that was, this came across a little bit more genuine, and it seemed like less like, you know, like mass mailing. So that's why it might take a little bit longer, but I think it's worth it in the end.
You send out vintage cards as well as balls. Do you also send out pictures and magazines, or, you know, do you stick to cards and balls mostly?
Mostly cards. I do send out 8x10s. Last summer, actually, I sent two really nice Hall of Fame, like the postcards of like their statistics, not of their Hall of Fame plaques, but the one with all their career statistics. I sent two to Mike Mussina, because since he went in with no cap on his plaque, they printed one both of him as a Yankee and as an Oriole, and Moose was one of my favorite players growing up. So I sent one of each to him, and I got him back. So that was, I send out 8x10s every now and then, but primarily I send cards out.
How many cards do you send out? Do you do multiples, or I usually do just one or two. I kind of feel greedy sending more than that. What's your thought on that?
Agreed. Usually I usually will send about two. If I have them laying around, like if it's just in my chest of cards, I'll send more than one. But if there's somebody specific that I need to go out and buy, usually I'll just send one. But then it also depends, you know, did this person play for multiple teams throughout their careers? If anything, I like to get one of one of each team that I have for the player.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I never thought of that. I kind of try to stick to, I'm really an American League guy, so I try to stick to Red Sox and guys that I've seen play. I don't have a huge National League base, but I love the Dodgers as well, so I try to stick to teams that I really like.
I used to be mainly Yankees, but then I found actually a lot of fun going out and having a you know, diversified collection.
Do you pay for autographs through the mail, or strictly try to get guys to sign for free?
I don't have any problem paying. Like last summer, I went on a big campaign of trying to get the all the Hall of Famers that signed through the mail. So I've got on my wall Raleigh Fingers, Juan Marichal, Paul Molitor, Wade Boggs, Andre Dawson, kind of like the guys who really actually who are pretty prevalent to send through the mail. I've sent to them, and I don't mind paying their fees. You know, because to me it's less than at a card show, so it's worth it in the end. Although I have no problem paying to get them in person at a card show, because, you know, while I send things through the mail, it's nice to kind of go meet them, shake their hand.
I agree.
To me, that everybody, you know, kind of gets up in arms about, oh, it's gotten so expensive, but, you know, which, not going to lie, it is getting more expensive, but, you know, you got to look at the whole value. I mean, you get to meet them, you get to talk to them, take a photo with them, you know, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big guy paying through the mail, but for some reason I don't mind paying to meet these guys. You know, the Red Sox 75 World Outfield was here up at Wilmington. They had a show, I think, last year. So Rice, Lynn, and Evans were there. And I paid. I wanted to get, you know, I shook their hands. I got photos with them. I have a photo that three of them all signed. I thought that was worth the money, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like like, you know, if you grew up a fan of these guys and, you know, it's just, I guess, maybe the growing way of professional athletes. They used to be very accessible. Now they're getting a little bit less accessible. But, you know, if you can pay, you know, even if it costs money to meet them, if they were your heroes growing up, you know, that to some people, that's an experience of a lifetime. And yeah, I look at it that way.
I agree. Have you had any interesting interaction with athletes that you've met at shows?
Yes, I have. I went to the Somerset Patriots. They're an independent league team here in Central New Jersey.
Sparky Lyle's team.
Oh, Sparky Lyle. I've gotten Sparky many times. He's a great guy. Anybody in Central New Jersey, I'm telling you, Somerset Patriots will not disappoint. Absolutely go. Sparky Lyle's there every Sunday signing. But I met Corbin Burnson there, and I got him to sign a poster of the movie Major League. And I had my GoPro on. And he gave me kind of like a funny look, like, what are you doing? But then he went with the flow. And then I said to him, like, you know, I actually like Major League. Tell me if this is shocking. I like Major League 2 more than Major League 1. Because I say that to most people, and they look at me like I'm nuts. And then he goes, no, Major League's a great movie. And then I say to him, do you mind inscribing strike this MF-er out? And he's like, I've written that so many times in my life, no problem at all.
That's funny. Now you mentioned GoPro, and that's something unique. I don't think a lot of people do that. What inspired you to do that, and what do you do with the videos they shoot?
How did I come up with that? I came up with it just because sometimes I would ask them ask them questions, and I'd get funny responses, and people wouldn't believe me. So if anything, it was a way to kind of get it on record. But then it also just turned into really good video content for my Instagram page. I go to the Hudson Valley Renegades around here, and I get autographed there. I got a really good video of when I met Les Lancaster in Rockland last year. And then, you know, I've been thinking, like, you know, what's my next step with the GoPro? I actually had an amazing spring and summer planned of trips that I was going to take throughout the Northeast, and kind of almost, I wouldn't say so much vlogish, but more like compilations of the stadiums, game action, things like that. But obviously, you know, the brakes have been pumped on that a little bit. But so I've been thinking, am I going to break into YouTube with it? I've considered it. Just, you know, need to be able to actually go to the ballpark again. But that's where I'd say I'm looking for next with it.
Do you find, I'm a little older than you, so I'm 54, going to be 55. And I find it a little strange for me as an older person, a real older person in your eyes, that, you know, asking these kids, you know, especially minor leaguers, for autographs. Is it weird for you? You're probably, you know, 10 years older than these guys now, but is it weird for you to ask these young guys for autographs in person?
It actually has, at times it's gotten a little, I've been thinking, like, wow, these guys are so much younger than me, and I'm lining up to get them to sign a card or a ball or a picture. You know, it does kind of say, like, wow, you know, I am getting older. But, you know, the problem is I love the game so much, and I just love the minor leagues and independent leagues. And to me, that's just part of it. And, you know, I just appreciate the game so much that I might think about it, but I can get past it real quick.
Okay, yeah, it's still a little difficult for me. So sometimes my son's 24, my daughter's 20, and my daughter's kind of cute, so I usually send her up and say, hey, go get an autograph for Dad, would you?
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine in Texas has two little kids. They're both less than, like, 8 years old, and the way he puts it is they're autograph magnets. He doesn't even walk up. He just sends them over, and they get it no problem at all, and they bring them back.
Yeah, I always hate, well, oh, what's your name, honey? And then they personalize it to her. I'm like, oh, no,
yeah.
No.
They've learned the tricks of how to get around it.
You're a man with a plan. You want to go to all of the Major League Baseball parks. How far are you along in that quest?
Well, that is actually in its infancy. I mentioned I was going to do that last summer. And then, that's what I was kind of like. I said I want to get to just as many as I can. And then I finally said, you know what, I pride myself as being a big baseball fan. Go big or go home. And then so I decided to just start doing that last summer. And I've managed to, in a short amount of time, get Wrigley taken care of. Went to Fenway last year. Which I must say, even as a Yankees fan, Fenway Park, just in terms of history and just everything that's gone on there and how unique it is, probably my favorite stadium to go on the road and visit. I got to tell you, that place is a baseball heaven.
I really like Wrigley. I've been twice, and both times I was pleasantly surprised.
I've been to Wrigley, actually, I really loved. I didn't get to go to the Bartman seat, though, because I got there late. That was my only regret. I wanted to go sit in the Bartman seat. But, I loved Wrigley. Didn't get to spend enough time on my own walking around, though, because, I showed up late. It was my fault. But next time I go back to Chicago, I'm going to take an extended visit there to Wrigley. Fenway, I spent a ton of time there. Early, I was walking up and down Jersey Street, just walking around stadium. I caught a ball during batting practice.
That's cool.
All in all, great time.
Did you, I'm sure you've been to the new Yankee Stadium. Were you ever at the old Yankee Stadium?
Oh, yes. Several times every summer, my mom's office they had season tickets and they would give them out to their employees. And we would go all the time. I remember going, as early as 1998 and, man, those were the days. And then, I remember the final years of the stadium and then even the years, the first time I went to the new stadium, I had very, very low expectations for the new stadium, but I've grown to really love the new stadium, but I do feel the Yankees lost a lot by tearing down such a historical place and building a new one. I understand financially it made more sense, but I still wish they would have kept the old one.
That's kind of how I feel with the Boston Garden. The new Boston Garden is clean and, it's nice, but there's nothing like the old place. So you kind of miss it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was there for 85 years and sadly it's gone.
Let's get back to talking a little TTM. Where do you get your addresses? Are you using the online sites or do you have a trick to getting hard to find addresses?
I mainly use Sports Card Forum. I found that to be the best one. Just I find the website easier to navigate, and it's free. So that's why I use Sports Card Forum.
And some people I've seen have had problems in terms of they don't trust the addresses there, but I haven't seen a problem at all. Have you?
No, I've never had an issue. Occasionally, every now and then, sometimes you send one out and you don't get it back. But, sending a TTM out, it's like anything. It's a risk. Sometimes you miss out. Like, I probably, I waited too late to try and get Jimmy Key. He was one of the best TTM signers for the longest time, and I sent to him, of course, right as he decided to stop signing. So, sometimes you're out of luck.
Yeah, it's weird in that way, and I wish if the guys would just be consistent, and if they like to sign, just keep on signing, but they kind of shut the door so that everyone kind of rushes in. I missed out on Brett Favre, the Brett Favre run.
I remember that. Oh, yeah, I missed out on it, too. I had a Brett Favre sitting on my table. I'm like, do I go for it? Do I not? And I kind of kicked myself for not trying.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to try. Luckily, I got to at the beginning of the Harold Baines and Rafael Palmeiro this time, so I was at the beginning of that one. But usually I'm like I get right before the door closes, or the door closes and then I miss it.
Yeah, I got to send out the Palmeiro as soon as possible. I've been really slacking on that. I got Baines right at the beginning. As soon as I saw multiple people, I jumped on Sports Card Forum. I said, okay, I got to strike while the iron's hot. The Palmeiro has been really lazy about. I'm actually going to, now I'm, once we're done here, I'm going to write it up and get it in the mailbox.
Do you have a kind of a target wish list, you know, the white whales that, that you're really hoping to get this year? I mean, with Corona, I think people got, the guys are a little more apt at signing, don't you?
Agreed. I've been thinking long and hard, are there any specific people I want to get? And actually, probably I would say Baines, but now Palmeiro are the main ones, because I don't always send like to the high profile people. I kind of like to get anybody and everybody that I have. But definitely I want to just any Yankees guys that I can add, anybody late, and also just in general, I love baseball in the 80s and 90s. So that's kind of like, that's just like the era of people I want to get. Although I am trying to mix in more vintage cards.
Do you, you know, I know you post a lot of vintage cards. We're talking to James from James Man Cave. He is he's from New Jersey. He's a Yankee fan. He is a Clemson alum. So he is certainly a bandwagon jumper, if you ask me.
I get it from everybody.
Only kidding. And no, James, you seem to do a lot of vintage cards. How do you, you know, do you go out and purchase the cards with TTM in mind, or you just have, you know, a collection and you kind of thumb through and, oh, I got this guy signing, I want to send him off. How do you choose? I know you look to see who's signing, but you know, how are you getting the cards to send out?
I'd say a healthy mix of both. I've got a pretty decent existing collection here that I always thumb through, and I pull aside people I'd like to see. Oh, are they good signers? Are they good signers? Every now and then, though, I am I'm going through on my timeline on Instagram, and I see somebody and I say, hey, you know what? Let me read up on this guy. And they, you know, like, oh, somebody threw a no hitter. Had a unique baseball accomplishment, had just a funny baseball story, interesting career. Then that's when I'll go on eBay and I'll usually find a card between like $1 and $2, and then I'll buy it. And as soon as I get it, I'll then send it out.
My wife says I have a sick eBay addiction, which I kind of do. But
oh yeah, now that with coronavirus, I've been getting more free time instead of going out and doing stuff. Now I'm just sitting on eBay, and I find the need to resist is so necessary, because if need be, I'd be spending money hand over fist.
The Nationals in your backyard this year, this is winter now in December. Are you planning on heading down to the National?
I can say definitely I'm looking, I'm thinking about it very, very seriously. I went for a day a couple of years ago, and when it was in Atlantic City in 2016, if I remember correctly, and it was an absolute blast. And now it's back, and I would love to go again. Now they just have to release who the autograph people are going to be again, because they used to have it, but they took it down. I suppose some people are noncommittal given coronavirus, but
right.
I would say probably 95% I'm going to end up going.
Yeah, I was supposed to go. I was all set to go, but it's just timing-wise now with, you know, Christmas and, it's, you know, driving down Atlantic City in December isn't as appealing.
So
I think I'm going to wait until Chicago next year. I've been a couple of years. It's really fun.
I've heard. I've gone for a day. I would love to go for multiple days.
Yeah, it's just fun, and I could spend 2 weeks, honestly, but it's so many people, and it's just fun. Everyone's talking cards and these autographs, and you see all these guys running around. It's a great time.
Oh, yeah, and you meet people, you have a fun conversation. It's basically the ultimate convention just for the collecting world. And, you know, my family doesn't always quite get why I get such a kick out of getting people to put their signature on a piece of cardboard. But, you know, I explained to them, you know, it's just something fun about it. I love baseball, and it's nice to just have a little piece of it. And you go to the convention, go to the National show, everybody gets it, and everybody, you know, it's just so much fun.
I agree. My family's the same way. They just shake their head and like, what are you doing? But they put up with it. Your screen name on Instagram is James Man Cave, and that's James with an apostrophe S. I don't know if you did that on purpose. Is it a virtual man cave, or do you actually have a real man cave set up as well?
No, I do have a real man cave. When I moved out of my parents' house a couple of years ago, my favorite part about that was, great, now I can hang stuff up exactly how I want. And I live in a studio apartment. And so it's really funny. All my friends ask me, like, oh, are you going to have a man cave one day? And I'm like, oh, hold on a minute. You've been to my house. My house is my man cave right now.
Which is awesome.
which is great. I mean, you know, my girlfriend tolerates it, but, you know, but she's a good sport. She's actually the one who got me going back to my mission to get to all major league parks for Christmas. She got me a big map of all the stadiums in the United States with thumbtacks. And she's like, here, you know, have fun with it. And so I was like, hey, you know what? She seems cool with it.
That's cool. That's very neat. Now, do you have something that's a favorite piece of memorabilia that you've acquired? You know, not the most valuable thing, just the thing that, you know, after your girlfriend, if the place is on fire, God forbid, you got to pick one thing to run out of the apartment with. What are you grabbing?
I would say probably my Joe Torre 16x20. It's a bit of a pet project I have. I'm trying to get every player that won a World Series with Joe Torre as the manager to sign it. And I've got – how many people on here? 1, 2. I've got about 17, 18 people on it so far. And so I would say that's probably the one piece. If I had to grab a hold of anything, it would be that one.
Well, one good thing, you don't have to get Mattingly.
That's true.
Oh, sorry. Let me take that knife out of your back.
Oh, God. I feel so terrible for Don. Him and Mike Mussina, the year before they show up, the Yankees are in the World Series. The year after they leave, they win it.
You have a favorite player? I know you said you loved Mussina. I was a really big Mussina fan, especially when he was with the Orioles. I thought he was a hell of a pitcher. And even with the Yankees, I respected his game, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Favorite player all time or modern day?
Favorite player all time. Guys, Fred Lynn has I have a soft spot for Fred Lynn in my heart.
Okay.
When I was 10 years old, he was it.
Oh, yeah. Rookie wins AL MVP and Rookie of the Year. There's something to that. Probably all time, I would say probably Mariano Rivera. I mean, just, you know, and like most people would think, you know, Andy Pettitte, Derek Jeter, or Jorge Posada. But, you know, there's always good starting pitchers, shortstops, and catchers. You know, there's a lot of them. But I think just like all, like in terms of like true, like elite long-term relief pitchers that like just at the top of their game for over 15 years, like Mariano was, like that, those almost never come by. So I felt like he was just something way more special in terms of, like, you know, you may never see a player like this again at his position. So that's why I kind of look back and say, wow, you know what? He was really something special to watch.
Do you buy current cards, the current offerings? Do you have a favorite manufacturer now? There's so many new cards out, new sets, different going on.
I would say I kind of buy from just about anybody. For me, it depends on how the card looks. I'm not overly big on certain brands. I have no real preference.
I really like the Topps Heritage. I like the old design, and I think they hold the autographs really well.
That's true. Yeah, I'd agree. I just sent to Stephen Wright. I just sent him an old Allen Ginter. The problem was he signed my 2019 Topps card instead of the old vintage one, so I might have to send to him again.
Do you have, you know, speaking of Stephen Wright, I know he personalizes. Do you have a preference either way of getting something personalized or not?
If it's like a more like elite player, then I would prefer it not be personalized, just in case the day ever comes where I want to liquidate or need to, like it would make it probably easier to sell. But you know, for the most part, I don't get overly hung up on it. I've actually bought a couple items that were personalized. because, you know, it's just because that was back when I was right out of college. You know, I was on a little bit of a budget, so I kind of bought them with a personalization. But I don't get, I keep, you know, some people do it, and I don't mind. But if I pay for it or go to a stadium, I'm always nervous whenever they say, "Oh, what's your name?" that they're going to personalize it there. I'm like, no, I don't want to give too much info.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I kind of go both ways. There's some stuff that I really enjoy getting personalized, and other stuff I was like, I wish he didn't personalize that. But are you collecting any stats, or do you have any things you're putting together? I know you're definitely a Yankee guy. Do you have any sets that you're working on?
Like specific card sets?
Yeah, like even a year's worth of you know, the 87 tops, or you want to get all the 86 Yankees, or, you know, I mean, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'd say kind of going back to the Joe Torre thing. Like, I'm trying to get anybody that won the World Series with the Yankees on either the 16x20 or as a card. That, I'd say that's the one big thing I'm going. And then I also like to get for Clemson guys. I like to get Clemson people. So that's who I'd say that's not like a specific card set. It's just a set of something that's near and dear.
Well, was Clemson good when you were there?
Depends on the my freshman year, we were 6-7. So I was there before we were a elite program. My second year, or my sophomore year, was when we took a big leap forward, and we got to the Orange Bowl, played West Virginia. I don't remember anything after halftime of that game. I don't know how to talk about it. I was at the alumni bar in New York City, and I couldn't talk until I woke up the next morning. But my junior and senior year were probably the most fun years I ever had on a Saturday in the fall. My senior year is when we opened up against Georgia when Aaron Murray was quarterback, and we beat them on opening night. College game day was there. It was blistering hot, but it was just some of the absolute most fun I've ever had in my life. And on that day, actually, I got to be I actually got on TV. I was on the sidelines waving the big flags in the end zone. That's one thing I did my last 2 years. And I got on TV a couple of times, and it was just that was probably the most exciting night I ever had at a Clemson game.
Well, I went to UMass Amherst back in the 80s, and our football was nothing. And basketball, I was there before Camby and Calipari, so I had no big time college sports when I was there.
Oh man, but and my girlfriend went to Boston College, so I can root for Massachusetts teams for sure.
Well, you know what? I know you're a football fan, but you're not a great investor because you had XFL season tickets. How did that come about?
I'm more of a college football fan than I am a pro fan, and I actually all the years I've never been to a Giants or a Jets game, and because the tickets are, it's too expensive for me. You know, the amount of money I would spend on one ticket, I can go to like three Yankee games with. So for me, it's a trade off. And plus, it's also you're from the Northeast. You know, it's freezing cold that time of year.
No, I know.
But I managed to get XFL. Season ticket in the front row for $150, and to me that was, you know, hey, even if the football is not that great or the league collapses after a year, why not?
I lived in Vegas for a couple of years, and I actually went to a bunch of Las Vegas Outlaw games. That was the first XFL.
Oh, he hate me.
Yeah, he hate me and all that. So it was actually fun. And if you want to go way back, I went to the Boston Breakers. They used to play at Boston University.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a bunch of Boston Breakers games, USFL games back, and that's when they first started. This was even before Herschel and, all, you know, they had Jim Kelly and all these guys. This is when no one knew anyone that was playing.
Oh yeah, those are the old days, right?
Yeah, well, but it was fun. It's fun to be a part of that. We're working on about a half hour, 40 minutes here. We're talking with James from from New Jersey. He's from James Apostrophe S Man Cave on Instagram. James, do you have a YouTube channel or any other social media stuff that you post your successes?
Mainly on Instagram. I've been looking to break into YouTube. I'm probably going to end up doing that next year. I was going to do it this summer, but obviously, you know, there's no content to be made really with the, you know, the league, baseball league's not playing. So definitely around next spring, I'll probably be getting into YouTube a little bit. So that's something for everybody to keep an eye out for.
Do you do much trading, either through SportsCard Forum or just people you meet on Instagram?
Some of my friends that I know, we trade stuff, but for the most part, I get and I collect, and I kind of hold on to. But I'm always open to offers.
Is there anything you're specifically looking for? I know you're trying to fill your Yankee. It's a poster, right, or a picture?
It's a 16x20.
Yeah. But you definitely have to go to the National, because I bet a bunch of those guys will be at the National.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I'm just waiting for the autograph list to come out.
Have you been to the show in White Plains at all?
Oh, I love those shows. White Plains shows are some of the best. I've gotten some of my best stuff there.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance. Every time I want to go, something comes up, because it's probably a good 3.5-4 hour drive for me.
Oh, but yeah,
I gotta really commit, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. If you're ever going, let me know.
Yeah, I'll wear my Red Sox hat in Yankee territory, but that's right on the edge.
Oh yeah, I'll protect you.
Thank you. Is there anything that we didn't discuss today that you want to mention? I know we kind of talked a lot of stuff that you're interested in, and it's really cool to talk to someone that has, you know, passion for the hobby. It's nice to see someone a little younger. I know one of the things I always worry about in the hobby in general is that we're going to all age out of this thing in, you know, 20 years. Who's going to be left, you know?
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of changes, like in terms of how easy it is to get players, you know, how you, like, you know, obviously with, you know, shows and, you know, kind of being the easier way to get a hold of people. You know, I think younger players coming up are very well aware of being able to sign through the mail and, you know, charge and make a little bit of money. So I would say that's probably how it's going to change. But I think there will always be a hobby. I think it'll always be there, just in terms of how people go about actually getting stuff. That's inevitably going to change. So I think that's the only difference, you know, a couple decades down the line.
Did you ever get involved in any of the digital stuff that Topps has or some of these other companies have, or are you strictly old school cardboard?
Strictly old school. It's because I can only liken it to like ebooks. I like having something that I can touch and hold and not read off of a screen. It's a real disconnect for me.
Yeah, I really have. I've never really got into it. One last question, and then I'll let you go. One of the things I'm always curious about, you know, people are, there's naysayers on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. They are, I'm going to quote, use the quotes, experts out there that say, you know, that card's no good. His wife signed that. Or do you send your cards out for to get authenticated or graded?
Certain cards, like I got, if I get like a Hall of Famer or somebody, then I'll take it and get it authenticated just you know, for practical purposes. But like if I kind of get a card like back of somebody who maybe is not all that notable, that nobody's really gonna pay like top dollar for, and if I ever want to sell it, then I just kind of hold on to it, because, you know, just for a couple of bucks, you can say, you know, here, just take it off my hands, because I've run the numbers, and on average, it's the cost of getting a card through the mail runs for me at about $2.50. So as long as I sell it for like $3 to me, even if it's not authenticated, I can tell everybody, like, you know, hey, minimal risk.
Do you sell any of your stuff, or are you just strictly a collector?
right now I've been strictly a collector, but I have been, I've actually been buying up a lot of a collection of one of my coworkers who is kind of trying to offload a lot of his stuff, and he has a lot of duplicates. So I'm actually going to have some really nice old like 80s and 90s stuff that he got in person at games, autographed at his cards and such. He has a good amount of dupes, so I'm going to have those up for sale probably soon, including I got a bunch signed by Pat Mahomes.
Oh, neat.
So yeah, that Pat, anybody wants Pat the autograph of a father of a Super Bowl winner, let me know.
Well, if you come, I'm collecting the 1978 top set, so if you come across any 1978s, let me know, because I'm always in search of those.
Sounds good. You'll be the first one I speak to.
All right. That's very cool. I think we covered just about everything. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? I'm open.
The only thing I would one thing I would love to ask, I love asking collectors about it, is upcoming rumors of minor league baseball contraction. How does that affect you?
I really hate that because we have a couple of minor league teams up here. We have the Lowell Spinners, which is the Red Sox. I think it's their Class A team, I think it's Class A. And I hate
short season.
Yeah. And I've heard that might be one of the teams that gets contracted. So I'd be really upset about that. That's only about, I don't know, maybe a half hour from my house. And we go up there 3 or 4 times a year, and it's good to see all the real young prospects. Again, I don't do much in-person autographing at minor league games, which is probably to my detriment because I go up to New Hampshire to to Manchester, which is the Blue Jays Double A team, and 2 years ago, that's when they had Vladdy and Bichette and all those guys, and I never once got autographs when I went up there. I go to Pawtucket every year, and they're actually, I think they have one more year, and then they're moving to Worcester. So I hate to see minor league teams closed, minor league parks closed. I really enjoy the minor league experience almost, you know, more than the major league experience. The major league experience is such a day and an investment, and you know, going into Boston, I'm sure it's like going into New York City. It's sometimes a hassle, and you know, you got to park, and you know, the food is expensive, and you're fighting crowds. You know, you go to minor league parks, there's, you know, a couple hundred people there, 1,000 people, 2,000 people. You know, they really appreciate you being there. They always give away stuff. It's fun. There's a lot of kids, so I really enjoy minor league baseball.
I'm in the same boat. I'm really affected in the sense of I spend weekends in the summer up in upstate New York a lot, and a lot of the New York Penn League teams in upstate New York are going to get cut out, it stinks. I like going to different stadiums, but hometown wise, only the Staten Island Yankees are really what I'm losing out on. But that's not a huge loss to me, only because even though they're a Yankees affiliate, getting there is brutal.
Right. Yeah, that's a haul for you guys.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it stinks. I don't like to see them go, but you know, I never made a huge effort to get there anyway, just because it was so difficult.
Have you been down to the Cape for the Cape Cod League baseball?
It's on my bucket list. One summer I am gonna go spend like a week on Cape Cod, and just every night I'm gonna just drive to a different town and do the Cape Cod League. That's a bucket list trip for me.
It's awesome. It's really fun. You bring a lawn chair, you bring a blanket, they pass the hat to the guys. It's all, the kids are really good. These are good college players. The talent there is really good.
It's the AAA of college ball.
Yeah, it's fun. These guys are, they compete. They're not there screwing around, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, those are the guys with legit major league potential.
And the other thing I recommend, because you're a huge baseball fan, take some time and go to Arizona for the Arizona Fall League.
Uh huh.
It is really, really good. You see, you know, really good Double A prospects and Triple A prospects, and you know, you only see a couple guys from each team, but they're all really good. And there's no one there. When I say no one there, there might be like 50 scouts and 50 fans. And you you can get everyone's autograph. You want to get a foul ball, the foul ball will get hit into the stands, and you can basically walk and get it. I think everyone in the park gets a foul ball, basically. But it's so good.
That's good to know. I never would have thought.
Yeah, and you can sit right by the dugout, and the guys will talk to you.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty laid back. And it's only for like, I think they only play for like 3 or 4 weeks. They're usually in October and I think into the first or second week in November. I lived in Arizona for a couple of years, so I had the benefit of going basically to any, you know, the games whenever I wanted. But it is, you know, you want to take a week and just go, you can watch, you know, 5 or 6 games and they're all good games. Because these guys are all playing for scouts. So they're all trying hard.
That's good to know. I have heard a lot of people say good things about Arizona spring training, but I never really looked that hard at the fall league. I'm gonna
start looking. Less competitive in terms of getting autographs, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, hey, if I can get out there sometime soon, I will bring. I'll make sure my GoPro is all charged up. Everybody can follow along.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing your GoPro channel when it's up. Please let us know. We're speaking to James from New Jersey. He is a Yankee fan, a Clemson alum. His goal is to go see all the major baseball parks. He goes to minor league parks. He is an XFL Guardian season ticket holder. He takes his GoPro when he goes to get autographs. So we're looking forward to seeing some of those GoPro videos. It's on Instagram at James Man Cave. It's James with an apostrophe S, Man Cave. Please check him out. He posts all the time. He's a very passionate, successful TTMer out there. He always has good posts, and he gives you good ideas on how to display some of your stuff. I've seen some of your stuff in frames, and it all looks great. I'm jealous.
Thank you very much. I gather so much stuff, and every now and then I've got a free evening or a free morning on the weekend, and I say to myself, you know what? What's just sitting around that would look nice in a collage? I measure it out. I go to Michael's Crafts. I buy a frame and just a big piece of background paper, and take my double-sided tape and have at it, and figure out where it all falls into place.
Well, you do a good job. So please post more of your framing stuff, because I really enjoy that.
Next time I put something together, I'll make a tutorial video. I'll put it on my IGTV.
That's perfect. All right, James, you have a great night, and it was a pleasure meeting you and speaking with you today.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. I thank you for hanging in there. Again, this week, we've had some nice long shows with cool interviews and some nice content, so hopefully you enjoyed our interview today. I'd like to thank James from James Man Cave for joining us today. If you have any feedback, questions, concerns, comments, or just simply would like to be a guest on a future show, please send me your emails to ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, the email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. Our next show will be next Sunday, Father's Day, June 21st. We have, as I said at the beginning, we have a former Boston Bruins legend joining us. I had a great interview with him the other day, so I know you will enjoy that. So I want to thank you guys, the listeners, for hanging in there. Wishing, as always, wishing you many happy returns. See you next week.